Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the second chapter of Mark. There are 28 verses. We have the translation and commentary, and then we also have part three of building your character. Now, character is the same thing. There are many synonyms of character, in case you don't know what character means. We read it the other day. But the character is of a person is the quality of person, the type of person that you are, either good or bad, or your good quality or a bad quality. Your spirit, if it's a godly, if the spirit of God is fused with your spirit, and if you have the capacity or the spirit of God in you with Christ, with the Father by the Spirit in you, so that you're able to allow God to do his full capacity in you. And also, the character is your very essence, your constitution, and your disposition, or the fiber. What kind of fiber are you made out of? Are you a godly person? Or are you a ungodly person? I know the quality of the fiber or the character of the desk that I work on is made out of wood, and so it's the very essence. The essence of it is wood. And the character, the essence of the people that are unsaved, according to scriptures, if they don't get saved, is their essence is chaff to be burned. And also, if you are saved, if you've accepted Christ, the rules and regulations, the commandments of the Lord, so that the law doesn't condemn you, well, then your very essence is that of God. You become part of the essence of God himself. You become a member of Christ's body. And we have a few letters here also. Let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to bless this service. Father, with your outward anointing, the anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that came down upon you in the shape of a dove, Lord, let your Spirit rule this service. Let everything that is said in it be that which you have ordained for me to say on this tape from the very foundation of the world. You knew who would be listening to this program, and you knew what you were going to want, what you were really going to say on the program. We ask, I ask, Father God, that you open up the ears, the spiritual ears. Even though we have ears on our outer body, we also have spiritual ears inside, the inside man. That you open our inside ears, our spiritual ears, and our spiritual eyes to see you. When we know the Word of God, we know you. But it's impossible for us to really know you unless we die out to the death of the cross. And unless we are resurrected into the spiritual realm. It is at that time the Word of God is God, and at that time we are able to see God, the Word. And Lord, we pray that everyone will be able to receive you as their Lord and Master and Savior from this broadcast, and that they will should be resurrected, and that they'll be able to see you, to see the living God, Father God, and that the church be edified, the entire, not the religions, we pray that they'll be saved, but the true church of the Lord, the salvationists, the overcomers from the enemy of this world, that they are elevated, that they are edified in this spiritual treasure that you're going to give us this evening. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, where's the first letter from?
From Concepcion, Chile.
Okay.
Respected man of God, first of all, greetings in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, wishing you great and rich blessings from God to all those who work in your extensive vineyard. I want to thank you for the attention you have showed us in sending us materials and literature. They have been a great blessing to a lot of people in distinct places in different regions of our country. They are very thankful for such a great blessing. All this is made possible with the help of the Almighty Jesus Christ, who facilitates all things to all in this world through His will. We understand that the Lord called us to bear fruit, and that our fruit should remain through our walking in the Lord.
That's right. This means bear fruit, means that everyone that doesn't get themselves saved and filled with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father by the Spirit, all those that don't partake in soul winning, they don't win people to the Lord, the Lord says that's the fruit that He wants for you to bring with you into the kingdom of heaven. He says everyone that doesn't bear fruit, every tree that doesn't bear fruit will be chopped down. And this is what John the Baptist stated. All right, and so then continue on, please.
Let us therefore...
Oh, chopped down and thrown into the fire, incidentally. I want to finish the sentence, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Let us therefore strive to gain such a reward which will be given to all those who persevere to the end. The materials you sent to us are handled with care, because we cannot afford to make mistakes before God.
Absolutely. The Lord demands perfection. He's strict, and He wants us to be strict with ourselves, to be perfect, in Jesus' name. Then what?
A lot of people in the world are interested in the bread and fish. That is, they put material things first, and their salvation last.
Right. The Lord said, you people didn't come so to hear the truth. You came because I fed you. That's what it was. I gave you bread and fish. All right, then what?
This attests to the fact that few seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I hope when this letter reaches you that you will be in good health, rejoicing in God's great blessings.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
We should not look for anything more than this great richness, the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. Please continue to send us your materials, since the work is great and we are short of resources. But with your support, this work will continue on. Blessings on you. I am waiting for your reply. Your co-servant in Christ, Rodolfo Mario Castillo, from Concepcion, Chile.
Well, we send hundreds of thousands of dollars, just the postage alone, not including the amount that it costs to buy the paper and to print it and all this. We send hundreds of thousands of dollars out, and it's for sure, brother, we're going to load you up, so that you can do a great and mighty work for the Lord in Chile. Praise the Lord. Now, where's the next letter from?
From Lagos, Nigeria. Dear Sir, greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. Your newsletter is winning souls in Lagos, Nigeria. May the good Lord bless you abundantly for your labor of love. Please reply soon. My regards to everyone in the vineyard, your son in Christ, Mawubana Morrison.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's not really my newsletters, I'm used as a channel by the Lord, and they're His newsletters, and I want everybody to know that, and that's why all these fine letters don't go to my head. You know, most people, if they thought that they were that super and that great to win so many souls, they might get so inflated that if you put a pin in them, they'd bust all over the walls. You know, you would have to scrape them off the walls in the office or whatever. But believe me, I know in whom I believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep me on the ground, you know, that I won't float up someplace and somebody stick a pin in me and burst, all right? So I realize who the King, the Master, the Savior, the one from the Holy Spirit that I get these messages and from my studies, all right? So where's the next letter from?
From Cote d'Ivoire, Africa. Hello, Pastor Lamo. Your literature is gaining ground of about 40% in the Ivory Coast. Help us go ahead further by sending us 50 French Bibles and cassette tapes for outdoor witnessing.
Amen. Let's go with 100%. 110%, even for people that come to visit you out there. Load them up. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, of course, we are not tax-exempt. We're not able to send... postage out on a discount rate for charitable organizations. So think of that when you people that have finances that you want to help the church, these people receive the gospel truth and that they're able to distribute throughout the entire world. All right. What nice letters we get. Amen?
Amen.
To me, they're encouraging letters to know that souls are being saved and that they're full of zeal, diligence and vigilance to get the gospel out, because they realize that the Lord is coming back to earth again very soon. You know, we see people saying that this tragedy that happened, the catastrophe over in New Orleans, that it is a natural disaster. Believe me, brothers and sisters, and those of you that are out in Radio Land, this was not natural. God promised that he'd send disasters to this world for their evil, their wickedness. And you say, yeah, but the children didn't do anything wrong. Well, the children didn't do anything wrong when President Bush and the United Nations went over and bombed all these different countries either. But God is doing it, and that's why he wants you to care about your children. He said, if you get saved and start doing the work for the Lord, that you and your household, your children, will be saved, and they'll be spared from such disasters. The Bible tells us this all the way through. He sent Jonah to Nineveh to preach the gospel, and he said that there's going to be disasters happen like this. All the people in Nineveh would be destroyed if they didn't repent. So they went on a fast, and they even put their cattle on a fast. And because of the fact that the Lord saw that they had repented, they got down and fasted in sackcloth and ashes. God spared them, and he would have spared New Orleans and Indonesia and many other places that have been devastated because of their sins, but they didn't repent. And now the scientists and the people that study these different storms are saying, well, we warned them. No, you only warned them when you saw the storm coming. But I warned them, God warned you, and I told you what God said would happen to you. We sent our troops into New Orleans and into all the other areas out there to warn the people from the wrath of God. This is not Mother Nature. Believe you me, there's no such thing as Mother Nature. This is the wrath of God that's hitting. And this is I said when the storm hit Indonesia that it was a Sunday school picnic in comparison to what else is going to happen. Well, this is the worst disaster that has ever hit the United States of America, according to the news media. And so, you know, be on notice, everyone, all you people of the world, that the same thing or worse is going to happen to you. The Lord doesn't have to do the same thing. He can get us to give you a tsunami, a flood like this, a hurricane, a twister, a typhoon, an earthquake, or a plague of dreaded diseases. That's the way the Lord is. If you'll read the Bible, you'll see that. And so the Lord has sent some of his messengers into the world like myself to warn you from the wrath of God. Repent. Because you do have little children. And if you don't, well, the Lord figures, and he knows the end at the same time as the beginning, that you'll raise your children to be just like you are, haters of God. And I know that you hate the messages. The government does, too. That's why they took our mail permit away. And so when we send things out, we have to pay full price. It's all right for homosexuals to have discounts and all the sin for sinners in the world, because that's the way the world is. But I'm telling you that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and God will provide us the finances to send the literature out, and we just have to redouble our efforts on the street to distribute the literature hand-to-hand on people's windshields, or just hand-to-hand, or on their doorsteps, whatever. But we're going to, you know, we've been bringing the gospel to this nation and the world for a lot of years now, around 3.5-4 decades. And it's about time that you started repenting. Because if you don't, you're liable to be have the water 10 feet high. That'd be quite a bit over your heads, your cars, and your homes. I'm not doing these things or saying these things to you because I'm mean or evil. I'm saying these things in an attempt to save your soul and to save your lives. And if you turn it around and twist it around that I'm evil and too controversial, like the people in San Francisco just did, well, then I believe that you're soon to be destroyed. Because don't take lightly the people that the Spirit of God is living in. I know a lot of you people do, but that's to your own destruction. In the book of Ezekiel, it tells that we are to preach the gospel to you and preach the wrath of God that is coming. And whether you believe it or not, we still get credit for preaching it. The Lord said to Ezekiel, they don't have to repent. Because if you preach to them, the blood of their souls is off of your hands. But if you don't preach to them and tell them the things, the wrath of God that's coming, and the destruction and the judgment, well, then all their sins will be on your soul. This he's saying to a great and mighty prophet of God. Well, I don't feel jot less than Ezekiel, although God did use him in a great and mighty way. He's used me also in a great and mighty way. And I'm telling you, for my good, I don't want to go to hell for not telling you. Now, there's a lot of people that don't believe the Bible that say that they're Christians and preachers and prophets that wouldn't dare tell you these things because they fear the persecution from the one world government, which is headed by the Antichrist. The Antichrist government. It's against Christ. That's obvious. They will not allow the Word of God in schools or in the government places. And they even want to take the Word of God off the streets. They want to destroy our mail permits and they want to throw us in prison. So this is Satan's government. Any satanic government, any government that would do these things is definitely against God, against Christ. And that's why they're all fearful. Washington, D.C. is scared to death. Like a little airplane flies over the Pentagon or the White House or the United Nations building and they scatter like a bunch of cockroaches when the lights go on. And that's what the Bible says, is that the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous, they are as bold as lions. Amen?
Amen.
Now the Lord states that he'll protect me for telling you the truth. It's just not kosher because you've got all these children and adults that have been killed in this, and many more are going to die from the disease. And people just think, how can he say? He's supposed to be saying comforting words. The comforting words that I'm preaching to you is repent so that this doesn't happen to you any longer and so that you can be healed if you've caught a disastrous, a disease. God said he'll send evil to you. You read the Bible and you'll see. All right? So let's continue now with Mark, the second chapter, with the 28 verses. Let's do the translation.
We're on verse 15. That night...
Well, this is a continuation of chapter 2. Amen?
Yes.
From yesterday. Let's go.
Verse 15. That night, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to be his dinner guests, along with his fellow tax collectors and many other notorious sinners. There were many people of this kind among the crowds that followed Jesus. Verse 16. But when some of the teachers of the religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with people like that, they said unto his disciples, quote, why does he eat with such scum? Unquote.
Because it was the scum that the Lord sent, came into the world to save in the first place. All you religious people that think you're right, he didn't come to save. You think that you're already saved. And the problem is, as I said yesterday, all you people that are doing good, that's good. But that doesn't save your soul. You must have the Spirit of Christ in you with the Father by the Spirit, or you're not saved no matter how many good works you do. So all the National Guard and all the FEMAs and all the private citizens that are helping these people out, that's wonderful, but it's not going to save your soul. All right? It'll make you look big in the eyes of man. But in the eyes of God, he said it's like filthy rags, like a menstruous cloth. And so you can't earn your way into the kingdom of heaven by rescuing people. We've offered to rescue them ourselves and to help distribute some of the things that people need, but the government rejected it because they don't want us to help. We're not looking for man's praise. We know that if we do something, but if they don't want us to distribute it, well then, you know, that's fine. They have the National Guard and they can go out there and the president go out for his photo opportunity and be seen there, which he's, a lot of people are saying it's about time that he showed, but that's what it is a photo opportunity. Even the news media believes that. All right, but we're not looking for any photo opportunities. We were legitimately going to help, and the government doesn't want us to, so good. We'll just distribute more literature, okay, instead of getting our troops together to pass out the things that are needed by the people that are suffering from this. We still want to show people the love of the Lord, and we would be glad to distribute. And we really were going out to rent 1 million square feet of new warehouses to help out, but they rejected it. And so again, the government has proven themselves to be Antichrist. They don't really want our help. They at first stated that they would like us to help because Red Cross is too much red tape, FEMA is too much red tape, they have to fill out papers. But with us, you don't have to fill out any papers with us. If you're hungry, we immediately give you the food. If you don't have clothing, we'll suit you up. If you need a place to stay, if we have extra space, we'll put you in there. Okay, immediately, no red tape. All right, okay, let's continue on.
Verse 17, when Jesus heard this, he said, quote, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do.
Yeah, sinful people are the ones that need to be saved, not you self-righteous people. Did you know the Lord stated that a common harlot shall enter the kingdom of heaven if they get saved before you self-righteous people out there? Boy, how you hate the Lord. That's what he says. And you're going to hate the two witnesses too. Satan is going to put them to death and they'll lay on the street for 3 days, but God is going to raise them up from the dead. During those 3 days, you people will be sending cards and letters and celebrating presents to each other to celebrate the death of the people that were tormenting you with the Word of God. Chapter 11, the book of Revelation states. But on the third day, God is going to raise those two prophets up, the two witnesses in chapter 11 of Revelation, and he's going to take them up into a cloud, with a cloud, into the kingdom of heaven, just as Jesus went up to show the people of the world, and everyone will see it on television. And this will show the people of the world that certainly Jesus did raise from the dead, and that he did ascend up in a cloud into the kingdom of heaven. And because he will do it with these two people that were killed, then raised from the dead on the third day. And that will cause a lot of people to be fearful. They'll begin fearing God. But by then, people have become so hardened and so hateful to the Word of God that they, just because they're fearful, doesn't mean that they're going to be saved. Okay, so let's continue on with chapter 2.
I have come to call sinners, not those who think they are already good enough, unquote.
Yeah, you people that are in religions, you're the ones that are the sinners. You're not good enough. And the Bible tells us that Jesus said because you self-righteous people would not accept him the way that he wants to be accepted, that you'll go out and win souls and that you'll humble yourself. He called the characters, the good characters from off the street. They may be the biggest sinners and be thought of by society to be the scum of the earth. But we're the ones that the Lord is choosing in these last days. And we're last, and you people were first. But you people that were first are going to be last. And we that were saved here in these very last moments of time are going to be first. That's what God said. And of course, you always know more than God, don't you? Of course, I'm being facetious. Okay, then what?
The discussion about fasting, verse 18. John's disciples and the Pharisees sometimes fasted. One day, some people came to Jesus and asked, quote, "Why do John's disciples and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast?" Unquote. Verse 19. Jesus replied, quote, "Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while they are with the groom." Verse 20.
But now, Jesus is the groom and we are his bride. And when the bride is with his, with the groom while he was here on earth, how could the bride start fasting when they're with the bridegroom? Doesn't make sense, does it? Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus was telling them. He says, you know, when he leaves, when he goes up into the kingdom of heaven, well, that's when we'll fast. But those of us that have the Spirit of God in us, he really doesn't leave or forsake us, that he'll be ours to the end of the world. But not to religious people, unless you repent. So repent, religious people. Outside of what the Lord says, I have nothing against you whatsoever. All I'm trying to do is win your soul and the souls of the people in government, and all the souls in the world, even the ones that hate God. How could you hate your Creator? You have to be worse than a dog. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 20, but someday he will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Verse 21, and who would patch an old garment with unshrunk cloth? For the new patch shrinks and pulls away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger hole than before. Verse 22, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. The wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins.
Right, so you have to repent from your old way and let the new wine, the Lord with his Father by the Spirit, enter into you. Because you're not going to be able to accept the truth unless you die out to your old life. Then what?
The new wine needs new wineskins. The discussion about the Sabbath, verse 23. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of wheat. Verse 24. But when the Pharisees said to Jesus, quote, "They shouldn't be doing that!" exclamation point. "It's against the law to work by harvesting grain on the Sabbath," unquote. Verse 25. But Jesus replied, quote, "Haven't you ever read in the Scriptures what King David did when he and his companions were hungry?" Verse 26. He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest, ate the special bread reserved for the priest alone, and then gave some to his companions. That was breaking the law too, unquote. Verse 27. Then he said to them, quote, "The Sabbath was made to benefit people, and not people to benefit the Sabbath." Verse 28, "And I, the Son of Man, am master even of the Sabbath," unquote.
Right, so the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath for your souls." What that means is he wants us to rest from our old life, the old works, and that the Sabbath actually is to be led by the Spirit, and to live the life of God, or to allow the Lord God to live out his life in and through us, so that you're in a constant Sabbath, a constant rest from sin, Satan, in the world, or your old worldly life. Turn away from it, or you'll never have any, you won't have eternal life. And you'll never have peace here on this earth, happiness or joy. Peace, meaning that if something should happen, some catastrophe, you're not even worried about it because you know that you'll be in the arms of the Lord and in heaven. The second the spirit, that your spirit that is fused, that is has joined the eternal Spirit of God, leaves your body, you're going to be right in heaven. All right? Now that's it.
Commentary.
Except for the commentary, okay? Commentary, chapter 2, Mark.
Chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Jesus came not only to heal physical problems, but also to solve the problems of people's sins. If you haven't known Jesus yet, you are paralyzed in the spirit and are powerless to help yourself, as with this paralytic. If your faith is still too weak to carry you to the point of healing, The faith of, quote, four friends, unquote, may be enough to get you to the point where you can be healed. Notice that it was not enough for Jesus to mouth the words of forgiveness. He proved his authority and intent with incredible actions. In the same way, it is not enough for us to talk about words of faith. We must take responsibility. We must take action if we expect spiritual cleansing and physical healing. Chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Because of their refuted cheatings and support of pagan Romans, tax collectors were considered notorious sinners by the Jews, especially the self-righteous religious leaders. But it was for people like this that Jesus came to bring us salvation. Levi, which is the same as Matthew, proved he meant business with the Lord by immediately witnessing to his friends, colleagues, and collaborators in sin. Some may question whether a person so new and immature in his faith should be telling his story to others. But the account here illustrates the truth that we are stressing in our ability to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ when we share our testimony or story with others, no matter the extent of what our knowledge is of the Bible or our skills or whatever experiences that we've had. I know that when I first got saved, I went to every newspaper in Los Angeles, to the radio stations, the television stations, telling them what happened to me, and I told many thousands of people on the street. You don't have to know the Bible to tell what happened to you, and that's the thing that people who truly get saved do. They tell everybody. Chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. The old wineskins of Jewish religious practice were too rigid to carry the expansive, life-changing message of God's salvation in Jesus the Lord. Religious activities are never anything when it comes to the point of salvation. They would never be enough unless they are united with genuine repentance. Religion cannot save anyone's soul. The Spirit of God the Father with Christ and the Holy Spirit must be in you. Christ is our life. We must start by recognizing that we're sinners in our former life and that we have to have a new life. We have to bury that old life by repenting and look to Jesus, who is now the Holy Spirit, the quickening Spirit, the life-giving Spirit. We need to look to Him for our power and our salvation. The Lord will forgive us of our former sins and get us back where we are able to shoulder the cross and go and sin no more, and also to deny ourselves. God will make our hard heart open and pliable like a fresh wineskin so that we can receive all of His power within us, so that He will be able to live and work through us.
All right, so people, Ephesians 2:2, the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul states that wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So in the church there are also children of disobedience. So if they are disobedient and they're in the church, they're really not to think of themselves as being saved, because what the Bible plainly states is that they're walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, the Lord doesn't care if you're a disobedient, unsaved person or a disobedient person that professes to be saved. If you're disobedient, and so a lot of people that are in churches don't like this either, they just look sadly at you with forlorn eyes. They don't want you to tell them that if they're sitting in a church warming the benches or the floors, if they're sitting on floors, they don't want you to tell them that they're operating under the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. They don't want to hear that. So right now, we're going to do part three of character. And remember, I stated that character, if you look in your dictionary, or the synonyms are your makeup, the things that you're made up of. There's a lot of people that you know exactly what they're going to do and what they're going to say because that's their character. You know exactly what the Lord is going to do. If there's somebody asking to have the demons cast out of them, you know very good and well that the Lord would cast the demons out of them. Amen?
Amen.
If there was somebody begging for or asking for healing, you know very good and well that the Lord, he says, ask and you shall receive. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's the Lord's constitution. We know that's his character. That's what he does. That's the quality of a godly man he was. He was man, God-man. And that's the type of person he was. But we need to find out if that's the kind of character you are, or the type of constitution you're made of, the quality or the type. Or if you're walking by the Holy Spirit, or by your own spirit, or by the spirit of the power of the air, the spirit that it works in all the disobedient people in the world, even in the churches. If you're like Christ, you have the same capacity that he has, because he, with the Father by the Spirit, is in you, and anything that he could do when he was here living in his human body, he can do in your human body. But of course, so many people have so little faith that they don't believe that. They don't have the essence. They don't, therefore they disbanden or completely turn their back on the Word of God to the point where they don't have the character of the Lord. They don't have the capacity, the essence. Or like I said before, anything that you see, like a file cabinet, is made out of metal. The essence of it is metal. The cars today, the essence of them is made out of, the bodies are made a lot out of plastic or some other fibers that they have, and so the essence of them. But if you're a real Christian, your essence is God. You are a God man or woman. The disposition of you is of God, the same as God's disposition, and you're the same fiber as he is. So now let's go into the third part of character.
I just talked to one of the men in the church on the phone, and they stated that they had put one of our vehicles into the shop for a front-end alignment, and they told me before that they left it there that it would be $1,000. Then when he called to see if it was ready to be picked up, he said the brakes were shot, and he said, go ahead and fix them.
He told the man at the shop to go ahead and fix them without asking first, and without asking how much it was going to cost. Okay, so the character of this person is very poor. That isn't the way that the Lord tells the church to operate. He tells you to obey those that have the rule over you, and don't usurp authority. He has no authority to put something in the garage. And even the unsaved people out in the world would not think much of him if he didn't even ask how much it was. They must think that he's the owner of Toyota or Mitsubishi or a Sony or somebody, that he just doesn't care how much it is. But that isn't our case. We are in dire need to have as much finances that we can in order to get to mail all these packages out. Today it was in the thousands. It seems like every day it's like in thousands of dollars or high hundreds to send out the packages. All right, and so we just can't afford to go and say, go and fix this or fix that and not even know what the cost is. Okay, continue on.
And he said, go ahead and fix them without consulting me first.
So the quality of this person is very poor. Nobody would like to have anybody like that working for him. He's not a good type, or his spirit is like warped. His capacity, you couldn't entrust him to do a real work for the Lord because he's a show-off. He just wants people, he probably doesn't say that it's for the church. He probably just says, it's mine, go ahead, fix it. He's got pride, and he wants people to think that he owns the vehicle and that he's got so much money that it doesn't matter, but that isn't the case. So the essence of him is satanic. No other way that you can cut it. His character is satanic, according to the Word of God. His disposition is that way, and his fiber is that way. Now, it doesn't make any difference if you do thousands of things that are wonderful in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord tells the prophets in the Bible, he says, if you did everything just wonderful, and then you decide to start doing things wrong, all the good that you've ever done is just washed away. It's just, it doesn't count anymore. So a lot of people, they do a lot of big work for God, and then they decide to fall away from the Lord, and any good thing that they've ever done before is no longer a credit to them. The Lord counts their character as being satanic. The Lord counts them as being led by the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This man and everybody in this church knows that I don't do business that way. I always find out what something costs before I give them the approval to do it. Okay, continue on.
I never allow anybody in the church, nor does God, to do things without shopping it out or asking what the price is, because we don't have the kind of money to not ask what something is going to cost. I would like to remind all the people in the church about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. It says, quote, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Disobedience is the same as witchcraft, and everybody in the church knows that they are to ask before they spend money.
And they have no power to even give the approval of to say okay unless they call and clear it through the pastor. All right, then what?
I have approved some of the sisters in the office to, when they have to buy gas for the truckers or for anyone to get things done for the Lord, that's approved. But I've never told mechanics or anybody in the church that they could just call up and somebody says you need a brake job and you say, okay, do it.
So that's usurping authority. That's the first thing that the devil did. So the man shows himself to be, his constitution to be wicked, evil. And some people just say, well, no, that isn't true. You're just too harsh or strict. The Lord, you must be strict, and strict with yourself. A man's constitution, his character, his quality, his type, his spirit, his capability or capacity, his essence, disposition, and fiber are satanic. Then what?
So there are many people in churches who are walking according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When you are told always to shop things out and get them approved through the office, who do you think you are other than what the Word says you are? You are a child of disobedience that walks according to the spirit of darkness, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So you are not walking according to the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The spirit of disobedience is the devil. How can you call yourself a Christian? You are just loose, wicked. You may think those words are harsh, but that means that you think the Bible is harsh. No,
that God is harsh. No, God is orderly. He's lawful. And he hates lawlessness. And if you love lawlessness, then you love Satan. Because that's what this world... And you love this world. Because that's what this world is. It's lawless. It's antichrist. So you're antichrist if you don't like these words. Then what?
No, the Bible is strict, and you're supposed to be strict too, especially with yourselves. So when you're told to do something, especially if something makes common sense, that everybody in the world, even the children of the world, shop things out, they don't just tell people, oh yeah, go ahead and fix it. I would have shopped it out in many shops that fix brakes and see how much that would cost. They're charging him $800 and some odd to fix some brakes on a van. I, who have approved lists for over 50 years now, and even before that a little bit, always shop things out.
Right, because before I was saved, which has been almost 41 years now, I was with the American Health Studios, and I was executive vice president, and I authorized lists there. And also I've managed many different places before, and I've called the shots for many large organizations and had the one that started the 20 original hits you can't buy it in the store, and I designated people like Sonny and Cher, who I did the promotion for and made them huge stars, and many others. Pete Best, the Beatles, I had a hand in the Beatles promotion and the promotion of the Rolling Stones, and this I'm not proud of it, but these are, I've been organizing for a long time, and I know what I'm doing. And this man is absolutely not capable of taking any, you know, he can't be trusted with anything major or even minor in the church. Okay, then what?
Even Donald Trump and the Sultan of Brunei, I'm sure, shopped everything out. What a distasteful human to be in this church. Also, Buster reported the same person. It's Barney, who he said, and I know this to be true because he does take a long time to say something. He talks so slow that the people in the church get distracted and they are not paying any attention. They just start shuffling around. So I told him to just let him do popcorn testimonies, but never to open or bring messages. I want everybody in the church to know that. Character is the same thing as the constitution of a table may be made out of wood. The quality of it is wood. The type is made out of wood. The capacity is wood. The essence of it is wood. The disposition of it is wood. The fiber of it is wood, etc., and the character of it is wood. All these words are the same thing. So this is a message on the quality of a person, which is their character. The type of a person you are is your character. The spirit of a person, what you are. The capacity of a person, what you are. What you are capable of doing, accomplishing. The essence. You're now no longer flesh, but spiritual. Your essence is that of God.
Right. Even though we walk around in the flesh, we still are to be spiritual. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Your disposition is the same disposition as the Lord's, and the fiber of you is the Lord. All these mean your character. There are some people who feel even though God says that you are not to usurp the authority of the elder of the church or usurp authority because it is the same thing as the devil, some people think if they've been saved for a few months or years...
Well, to usurp the authority of the authority here on earth and the prophet, a pastor, not just elders. A lot of people have been in the church, and he has been in the church for over 30 years, and look at that. So elders, consider themselves elders because they've been sitting in the church for a long time. And then all of a sudden they come out of the closet. And then we see they're true. And when I asked him, did you just approved it? He says, yeah, mm-hmm. Like it just was a frivolous thing. He didn't care one way or the other. And I said, well, you're not entrusted with anything. He said, okay, sir, bye. So, you know, there's no depth to this man. He's extremely shallow. Okay, keep going.
Some people think if they've been saved for a few months or years, or even 100 years, that they are now fit to usurp authority and do things on their own. As I mentioned, that Brother Barney thinks that you can just buy things without asking how much they are. Just tell somebody, quote, go ahead, unquote.
Yeah, and then send the bill to me or to the church. So, you know, and I have to approve all that because that's what I've been... called by the Lord to do. And people don't want me to do my job. They want to do it for me. And I thank God I have the power to put them out of the church if it's a demon. If somebody is trying to display that Satan can live in here without being chastened, that won't happen. Okay, then what?
A lot of people are untruthful today, and they'll charge you $800, $8,000 for something and say, quote, you said to go ahead, unquote. The law of the Lord says that the authorities are the ones who preach the gospel, that minister, the pastors, the prophets. I've seen many people in the church, in churches all over, that feel that they've been saved so long now that they can just take things and do it themselves without asking questions. This way, the church is infested with false doctrine because it's their opinion and they've never been called by God to be leaders. So this message that I'm bringing here is on your character. Are you a godly character? Do you usurp authority? Do you think that you've arrived and that you're over the Word of God? If you are, then you're the devil. I'm going to start going...
Why, you're a worker of the devil. You're part of the corporate body of Satan. Well, there's no other way to cut. And I can spot a lot of those kind of people in the church, and it's just a matter of time before they're gone. All right? Because I'm the authority, and they cannot usurp authority over the authority. Okay? That's just clear as a bell in the Word of God. Then what else?
I'm going to start going into deep surging downward and digging deeper into the Word of God, not being superficial like you people who do these things. The book of Proverbs says that a foolish person is a shallow one. A foolish person is one who doesn't believe in God, so therefore they are not only shallow, but they are doomed. They don't believe in hell.
By doubt, you're damned. By faith you're saved, and by doubt you're damned, according to the Word of God. Now, a lot of people, if it was a great congregation, they'd say, Amen, brother.
Amen.
You know, they would say that. But there's a lot of people that wouldn't say anything, and they, you know, they're non-entities in the church. They don't amount to anything. Their constitution or their character is not that of the Lord. So you either have to be of the Lord or Satan. That's what the Bible says. Then go ahead.
They're not saved. The observation of a shallow person, or one who is not saved, is not really accurate. His understanding of the church people and the matters of the Lord is very superficial. Being deep is closely related to being thorough and serious. A person who just buys things without asking...
Yeah, people that are not serious with the Lord are not deep. They're shallow. They can't... they couldn't do anything for the Lord if they tried to, because they're shallow. They have to be deep to do anything major for God. Then what?
A person who just buys things without asking how much they are and calling up and saying, I don't care if you approve it or not. It's due right now and you have to pay it. This person has become God to themselves. They believe they are the authority, and that people who walk by the Spirit are not senile, stupid, and are going to let them start running the church. They're shallow. A shallow person is always, always making superficial observations. Whereas a deep person, one who is of the Lord, one who has a good understanding, a good constitution, a good quality, a godly type, they have good spirit, they have good capacity. They can do everything the Lord says because they have His Spirit, and their very essence is the essence of God because they are new creatures. They have good dispositions because they would never think of doing the things that Barney and other people in the church do. Their fiber is godliness, so they are godly characters. A deep person always searches, and when he finds out what the truth is, he sticks to it and doesn't deviate from it at all. Like Brother Buster is a good one like that. He digs to find out so he can keep more and more of the commandments.
And one of the major scriptures that Buster stands on is that they are to obey those that have the rule over them. And that's what he keeps saying in the services all the time. He says that's why he always calls all day long to find out what it is that, you know, if he should do this or if he should do that. And he calls three and four and sometimes five times a day. He won't move at all unless he gets instructions. All right? Except when he's witnessing, he witnesses by the Spirit. And the Lord honors him by giving him a lot of the Spirit of God. Okay, then what?
But these people who have been around for a long time think it's all right to fall away from the Lord. They don't pay any attention to what he says, and to become foolish to the people out in the world. The people in the world expect you to ask, quote, how much is this going to cost? All the brakes are shot, unquote. I'm just giving one example. There are dozens of people who do things like this in the church. When a deep person looks at things, he looks at them in a deep way to find out what to do. He wants to learn more how to keep the commandments. To a shallow person, it may seem that there is nothing to do, even if a church is committed to him.
If they were given a church to rule, they would think there's nothing to do in the church. just sit around, and you see churches like that, they just let everything go crazy. Go ahead.
If somebody committed a church to that person, he would just let it go. Quote, "We'll just let the Lord handle it," unquote, they'd say. Quote, "We'll just let the guy on the phone say," quote, "you need brakes. Okay, put them in," unquote. This is an airhead. While others have much to speak of in a message, he has nothing to say because he's just too wise. He was in the pulpit the other day, and everyone almost went to sleep on him because he has nothing to say. While others labor to obtain light in studying the Bible, he is satisfied with merely a literal understanding, something that he learned maybe 20 or 30 years ago. In listening to people, a deep person does not easily believe others, and he listens beyond superficiality or any superficial remarks. However, a shallow person readily believes others. Quote, "I believe the guy who fixes the brakes, $800 and some must be right," unquote. He believes his words, and his relying on information is often inconsistent, but he really doesn't care. There is no embarrassment in a person like this. They are actually so deep into stupidity that you can't even insult them. They are too stupid to be insulted, and they are incomplete. They cannot enter heaven this way. I'm saying this in love. I'm not condoning anything that he does, because it would not get him into heaven if I did. As a result, gossip is created. Those who serve the Lord must be deep in truth. They must be deep in concern about the finances of the church, because the more finances we have, the more we are able to get the gospel out. But an incomplete person doesn't care anything about that. They just figure because of the fact that God has sent in enough money to repair the church, that this is just going to go on forever, no matter how he is or the other people in the church are. Some people think that God has saved them to be in luxury, but he said for us to carry a cross, to deny ourselves. So we must be deep in truth, those of us that are of the Lord, those of us who have the character of the Lord. We must be deep also in experience. We must be deep also in the things that we do and say, because we're deep in leading others. The shallow person cannot serve the Lord, because he will make God's work shallow. Those who like to represent others are shallow people. One who is deep is neither complicated nor shallow. Such a person is third dimensional, always investigating and researching.
Praise the Lord. Well, that was, you've heard Mark, the last part of chapter 2. The first part of it we saw, heard yesterday, with its 28 verses, commentary and translation. And now the part 3 of character and in expounding and letters and so on. And tomorrow we'll be doing, God willing, chapter 3 of Mark and part 4 of character. Until then, this is Pastor Tony Alama saying God bless you and praise the Lord. And don't usurp authority.